Power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. We're going to continue in our series of lessons on love, the law of the kingdom. Praise God. Say that with me. Say love.
Love.
The law.
The law.
Of the kingdom. Glory to God. I haven't been able to minister this in the past 4 weeks. We started the first part of it, and then I had to preach somewhere else. And then we had a couple other things going on. Pastor Steve, Pastor Mary gave the word. Then last week we had Mother's Day. So I would like to catch you up on it, on what we talked about the last time, because you probably forgot. But I don't want to go through all the scriptures and stuff like that right now. Does somebody have a microphone on? Let me turn this speaker off. All right. Praise God.
Amen.
So I'll try to catch you up a little bit, but I'm not going to go through all the scripture that we went through the last time. I would advise you that we're going to put it up on the webpage soon and put the video up on YouTube soon. So I would advise you to listen to the first lesson. Praise God.
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. See, I've learned that I got to minister to the group of people that God has given me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I got to minister to you in the best way possible. You know, I've been in churches where I can preach an hour and an hour and a half and the people are attentive. And then I've been in other churches, like the one that I pastor, where after about 30 to 35 minutes, y'all, I got to do something to keep y'all awake. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's why I try not to spend a lot of time revisiting the last week or the weeks before teaching, and hopefully that if you're interested, you'll try to catch up in a different way by the resources that we have online and stuff like that. Praise God.
Amen.
But 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we're talking about the law of the kingdom. Say love.
Love.
The law of the kingdom.
The law of the kingdom.
Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, if you need a working definition of sin, there's no need for me to come up with something on my own, out of my own head. The Bible, the Word of God, specifically tells you what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. Say that with me. Say sin.
Sin
is the transgression
of the law.
Praise God. Now, somebody might ask, especially if you're new to this, well, Pastor Troy, what is the law? Now, someone else might answer, it's the Ten Commandments. It's the law, it's the teachings of Moses. There's a lot of truth in both of those. Matter of fact, those are absolutely true, but only limited truth. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, you're given the right answer if you say that it's the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses. You're given the right answer, but you may not be given it within the right context. Praise God.
Amen.
See, because you got to understand exactly what the motive behind the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses is. And so that's where we go to the foundation scripture that we started with a couple of weeks ago. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Say sin.
Sin
is the transgression of the law. See, you got to keep saying certain things because you'll forget very easily if you don't say them. If you ever understood Israel, the way God taught Israel, he would have them say these things over and over again. He told them they need to bind it on their hands, bind it on their forehead, They need to keep saying these things over and over again until it got into their spirit. Praise God. A lot of us, the reason why we forget stuff, whether it's the word of God or whether it's something at work, is because we're too scared to talk to ourselves. How many of y'all talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. And I answer back. Somebody might say that's the definition of crazy. Well, I'm crazy for Jesus, praise God. But I've learned if I don't talk to myself, I'll forget certain things, praise God. Yeah. If I don't, the Bible says David encouraged himself. Sometimes, man, if ain't nobody around to pat me on the back and tell me Brother Troy is going to be all right, I got to encourage myself. I got to tell myself, Troy, you can't be getting upset about that. Troy, don't get mad at that person about that. You did that once too, praise God. You got to tell yourself certain things. Praise Jesus. Amen. All right. James chapter 2. What is the law? The law, what is the Ten Commandments? What is the law of Moses? James chapter 2, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt, listen to this, love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that was the foundation of the law of Moses. If you remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus himself said that this commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, that is the foundation of the law and the prophets. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so his brother James, half-brother, who wrote this epistle, says the same thing, just basically repeating what his older brother, Jesus, said. He said, if you fulfill the royal law, say royal law.
Royal law.
See, the royal law talks about kingship. See, when you talk about something royal, you're talking about a king. You're talking about a kingdom. You're talking about the law of the kingdom. So the royal law is that of love. Praise God.
Amen.
Everything within those Ten Commandments, that you shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. You shall not covet thy neighbor's donkey. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. You shall not bear false witness. All of that is not based on rules, but on love. Praise God.
Amen.
I could never tell you I love you and then lie on you.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
You can't claim to love somebody and then lie on them and tell lies about them, going around gossiping about them. That's not love. If you got something, and I'm mad because you got something better than me, I'm not love. That's not loving. If Lydia won the lottery tomorrow and got herself $400,000, we'll forgive her for playing the lottery and we'll just have a tithe. But if I, what am I going to get mad because Lydia won the lottery? Praise God.
Amen.
Why am I going to sit around and say, I can't believe it. Why God didn't bless me with that money? You know, that's not love. Praise God.
Amen.
I should be rejoicing. Oh, my sister won. My sister got blessed. Now she's going to be able to take care of the family. Oh, glory to God. Now the boy's going to be able to go to private school. You should be rejoicing over that.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. And you should be saying to yourself, man, if God loves her that much, I know God loves me too. He'll bless me. So you rejoice with people, with those who rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
You should never covet what somebody else has. Then you got these women, single women in church, who's always claiming somebody else as their husband, even though the husband has already got another wife. That's my husband. I'm going to believe God for him. And then they do everything to undermine the pastor's wife or the spouse of the person that they want in order to get that person. That's not love. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that's why the Ten Commandments were the foundation of the whole thing, starts out with loving the Lord and then loving your neighbor. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so here in James, he says, if you fulfill the royal law, say royal law.
Royal law.
Royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But he goes on. But if ye have respect to persons, or in other words, you don't treat people right because of the way they are, you commit sin. So if you treat people differently because maybe you don't like white people, maybe you don't like the way she dresses or he dresses, maybe because you think he's more built than you are, or whatever have you, whatever it is that causes you to have prejudice. The Bible says you're committing sin. Praise God.
Amen.
See, we always think of sin as adultery and murder and fornication and homosexuality. No, baby, these are the results of sins, praise God. Amen. Or these are sins, but they're not. The basic thing about sin is selfishness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason why I commit adultery is because I'm there to gratify my needs. Forget about my wife. Forget about the pain I might cause her later on down the road. I'm concerned about only my needs, my own sexual desires, my own sexual gratification. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forget about the woman that I'm even having sex with. You think you love her. No, you don't. Because if you love her, you wouldn't be married and messing with her. Praise God.
Amen.
You love yourself. You love what you're getting from her right now. Somebody throw acid in her face and she get ugly and stuff like that, then you ain't gonna want her no more either. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happens to a lot of these people who think they love somebody. See, the whole basic idea behind the law of God is selfless, others-focused concern. Praise God.
Amen.
See, anything other than that is called sin because you are only concerned for you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So look, listen. Sin is a selfish principle that's inherent in fallen angels and men. Sin is being devoid of the God kind of love. Individual acts that we commit as a result of the sin principle are called sins, plural. Praise God.
Amen.
So anything I do that goes against what the Word of God said is because I am concerned only for my needs and my own desires at the expense of anybody else, no matter who it hurts. When I take the crack, when I'm smoking the crack and I'm messing myself up, I'm not concerned about all the people who's going to have to take care of me later, all the people I'm going to steal from to get that money to pay for the crack, the way I smell, the way I act towards people. I'm not concerned about any of that. I'm only concerned about fulfilling a certain desire at a certain time. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, the whole basic idea behind the homosexual agenda is selfishness. If you don't understand that, you need to see what they're doing right now. People suing Christian, they suing Christian bakers because of a Christian baker. They don't want the baker to follow his or her conscience, the baker cake, and so they're offended. So they're going to sue and take money from that person because they're selfish. Praise God.
Amen.
And not only do they want to gratify certain perverted needs and desires, they want everybody to accept it, and they're going to force it down your throat whether you want it or not. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that's totally different from the kingdom of God. See, God is not going to force anybody to accept his view, his ideas, or his views. But the problem with us not accepting what God says is that it in itself will destroy us. Praise God.
Amen.
See, here's the basic thing, the truth about hell that people don't understand. Hell is not God saying, you know what, you offended me. I'm ticked off with you. You didn't follow my laws. So I'm throwing you into the fire forever. That's not God. The problem with hell is that you and I told God we don't want him. Hallelujah. And we don't want to go to heaven because we're only concerned about only our needs. See, heaven is a place full of people who love everybody else other than themselves. Praise God. That's the basic joy about being in heaven, is that everybody's going around taking care of each other. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody's following the royal law of love in heaven. In hell is where all the people who can't stand each other are placed because they don't want to follow the royal law of love. They're concerned about themselves. Me first. That's what hell is all about. Hell is the me first principle. And so God can't have meet first people up in heaven with where it's, because if they go to heaven, they're going to mess heaven up. It won't be heaven no more. Praise God.
Amen.
You can't be you cannot go to heaven with that attitude. That's why we have to learn about, if we're going to be in the kingdom of God forever, we've got to learn to follow right here on earth the royal law of love. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so that's the whole thing about God's law in the first place. The whole Ten Commandments, the whole law of Moses. It was all based and built on God's love and wanting people to follow the ways of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, God is the most unselfish person in the universe. Praise God.
Amen.
See, the law of the kingdom and sin has transgressed the law. We saw 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, is sin that transgresses the law. And so we can define sin as being self-centered, only me and my needs, not concerned about how my attitude and my actions will affect others. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, on the other hand, unselfish, others-focused love is the primary commandment of God. Let's look at a couple of scriptures to point that show this. Look at Matthew chapter 12. There's actually a number of scriptures. I don't know if I should give all of them to you. Maybe if you're taking notes, you can write some of them down. But there's a number of scriptures that prove this. And this is why love is the most important teaching within the body of Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I still consider myself to be part of what is called the word faith movement. You know, I'm big on the belief about confessing the word of God. I'm big on belief about God supplying your needs, God healing my body, because God, it's been proven true. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I probably do differ with some of my fellow faith teachers is the idea that faith is the most important thing there is. And some of them have tried to justify why they say that, why they think faith is even more important than love, but I've never been able to buy their justification or their explanations. And some of my favorite faith teachers say it. But I'm going to tell you right now, love is the most important thing because faith worketh by love. Praise God.
Amen.
If I don't have love, I'm not going to be able to operate in faith. I'm not going to, in true God kind of faith, because God will not answer my prayers based on my selfishness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God won't, he won't even heal my body based on my selfishness. When you go to God and you're sick and you say, God, heal me, and he asks you why, well, you know, because I'm hurting. No. If God wants to heal me and ask me why, it's because God, you know, sometimes I come here, and I've been sick. I felt sick, praise God. I don't confess that I'm sick, but I felt it. And I will believe God for healing. And the reason why is because if I am sick, I can't effectively minister to you the way I should. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that's my thought to God, is not that I am concerned about the pain in my body, but I'm concerned about your people and how I can effectively help them. Praise God.
Amen.
I've been healed every single time. And see, when you walk in love, it affects other people. You don't know. Listen to me, y'all. You don't know the people that you are affecting around you, depending on how much you love them, your attitude towards them. Last night I went to a dinner for a friend of mine's debt-burning building fund dinner thing. And, you know, there was a number of pastors and bishops there. And, you know, of course, I go around and greeting all of them. And there was another bishop friend of mine. I decided I'd walk over to him and talk with him for a little bit. And, you know, he gets up, and he's just such a loving man. I mean, I told him that me and my wife have been married 32 years, and all of a sudden he pulls $32 out of his wallet and gives it to me. But the most wonderful thing was, right next to him, somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and right next to him was two people that my wife and I had discipled for years. Praise God.
Amen.
And he said, Pastor Troy, we were just talking about you. We were just telling the bishop about you. You know, I hadn't seen him in a long time. He said, we were just telling the bishop about you. We told him how you had loved us, how you and your wife had loved us and discipled us for years, and the reason why we're where we're at is because of you. You know how much that made my heart rejoice?
Amen.
They may not be going to this church, but the fact that they're still walking with Christ, you're talking about a man and a woman. One of the women, was on crack at one time, was a crack addict. This was years ago. The man had been in and out of jail, and now they're both serving Jesus. Amen. And they've been serving him crack-free, jail-free for years now, for several years now. Praise God.
Amen.
And the fact that they can say, because God used Pastor Troy in their life to disciple them. My wife and I had them over our house eating many times. I wasn't sitting there worried about her stealing stuff from our house. Praise God.
Amen.
My goal was to get them to love Jesus. You know, we would go over to their house and have Bible studies with them and things like that. And it was just a thrill to me. Man, that was worth more than $1 million. That was worth more than that $32 the bishop gave me. Praise God. Now, I don't think I took that $32. And I'm going to spend it. After I pay my tithe. Make sure you put $3.20 in the thing. The fact that I was able to walk in love with this couple, it made a difference in their life and their where they're at today. That was sacrifice on my part. Glory to God. Now, the reason why I tell you all these things is not because I'm bragging on myself. Man, Pastor Troy is nothing without Jesus. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, you know, when I was telling, this is probably the first time in a long time I even announced me and my wife's anniversary. Usually I don't talk to y'all about my birthday or our anniversary. Me and my wife usually try to keep it quiet. But the Lord told me, he told me just recently, he said, son, I called you to be the pastor of that church, which means you also need to be the example.
Yes.
You need to tell them my goodness in keeping you and your wife married for 32 years. Praise God.
Amen.
He said, you're not bragging about yourself because it wasn't you. You would have messed the whole thing up if it wasn't for me. Praise God.
Amen.
And I looked back at my past and I said, he sure is right. That's what I was telling people last night when I was telling about me and my wife being married for 32 years. I told them, don't congratulate me. I said, congratulate her. She lived with me. She put up with me that long. Praise God. But the thing is that I tell you these things because I am a living example of what it means to walk in love and to see the results of this. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not giving you theory. I'm not just putting a bunch of scripture together to share with you. I'm telling you what the Lord has taught me and how he has used me to bring it to others. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you understand this royal law of love, the struggle with forgiveness will lessen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when somebody wrongs me, and I understand that I wronged God, and yet he still loved me,
amen,
then I can be better equipped to understand and love others no matter what they did to me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew, have you found Matthew 12 yet? Praise God. Let's look at verses 30 and 31. It says, he that is not with me is against me. Wait a minute, is this the right one? Let me make sure I got the right one. Yeah, that's the one on my notes.
Yes.
But that's not the one I wanted. Skip that one. Turn to John 13:34.
St. John.
I might have wrote down the wrong. Sometimes I get Matthew mixed up with Mark, but I don't. But we don't have the time to look for that right now to correct my mistake. So turn with me to St. John 13.
34.
You got it, Pastor Steve. Thank you. Pastor Steve, why don't you read that for me if you got it already? And read it loud. It's all right. See, me and Pastor Steve, we get old, so our eyes ain't the way they used to be. Praise God. See, one day y'all get there. So Some of you
and
young
now
people,
yeah. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another.
Praise Amen. God. So thank you, Pastor Steve. He said a new commandment. Say new commandment.
New commandment.
Praise God. The thing Jesus is telling them there is that everything you need is wrapped up in this one word. Love. Praise God.
Amen.
Loving one another. See, that's the reason why, you know, some of y'all heard me earlier when we were talking from James chapter 4 about prayer. And how God wouldn't answer prayer because of the infighting that was going on amongst the people. And, you know, here's the thing I can tell y'all right now from Pastor Troy's heart. And I really hope that y'all understand me as your pastor, praise God.
Amen.
That my motives for certain things are not selfish. It is for the concern for you. And the reason why I'm very careful about just letting, just having church growth by any means necessary, is because if you do that, you can bring in the wrong people. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring in people that their motives are selfish, and they will come in and they will destroy the ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, sometimes pastors. And I'm among them. Sometimes we as pastors, we want to see growth so badly. We want to see numbers so badly that we will go all out and do anything necessary. And we'll even invite people that we know aren't right and don't belong here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then when they come in and cause strife, then we're sitting there crying. Oh, God, why are these people doing this to me? And God is saying, because you let them in here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, now, I'm not talking about lost souls. I'm not talking about sinners, praise God. We need to go out and minister to them, and we got to bring them and disciple them. What I'm talking about is, you know, Christians who are already supposed to be saved, already born again, already supposed to be mature in the things of God, and we talk them into coming and doing all that kind of stuff, and then they come in, and because they got their values are different from the pastor's values, or their values are different from your values, then they're going around gossiping about the pastor, gossiping about the leaders, causing division, causing strife, causing dissension amongst the saints. And then next thing you know, you got church splits. Praise God.
Amen.
And you think the church has grown, and yet the church divides. Praise Jesus. So that's why I'm very careful about certain things and making certain decisions, because even with a small group, if there is love and peace and unity amongst us, then the growth will come the right way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being desperate for growth and growing just by any means necessary is not the way I see things being done within the kingdom of God. The first thing has to be love. Love has to be without dissimulation amongst all of us, because that is the law of the kingdom. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Besides, ain't no sin. No matter how big your church is, if a sinner comes in and is not and doesn't sense his love, they ain't gonna be here long.
Mm-hmm.
I know people. A brother who's no longer with us was telling me how he went to a large church, one of the big mega churches, when he was out in, I think, California somewhere. And he said, you know, he said the one thing he noticed, he said he would, right at the end of the service, people would just walk right past him. Nobody would even look at him. They weren't looking at each other. They weren't looking at him. Nobody seemed to care. He's a new visitor, just coming in. They don't know what's going on. They don't know anything about his life. Nobody greeting him or anything. They're not even greeting each other. They just go to service, do some singing, hear the word, go home. That's all their life is about. That's not the way God wants it. Praise God.
Amen.
It's supposed to be about community. It's supposed to be about caring. It's supposed to be about going out of the way for each other. That's the commandment of God. It's not all about trying to, okay, I'm not going to commit adultery today. Okay, I'm not going to look at that woman today. Okay, I'm not going to steal that money that's sitting right there in front of me. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. No. It's not about that. It's about loving people.
Amen.
I'm not going to look at that woman today because I love her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in a different way, I should love that woman. I shouldn't be looking at her as a piece of meat, something to conquer. I should be looking at her as that woman needs to be saved. Praise God.
Amen.
I wonder if that woman knows Jesus. I shouldn't be looking at that money as, I got to resist temptation. I don't want to steal it. No. I should be caring, man, if I take that person's money, what am I doing to that person? I remember just a couple of days ago, me and my friend Max, he's a Jehovah's Witness, you know, we have lunch together. Occasionally we even talk doctrine. Most of the time we even talk about superhero movies and comic books and stuff. But anyway, me and him, we were walking back from lunch a few days ago, and I saw somebody's Citizens Bank's debit card sitting on the ground. Now, a selfish person would have picked that up and said, ooh, I can use this as a credit card and get some stuff in that person's name. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Max, we picked it up and I said, Max, we need to take this to the bank right now. And so, and, you know, Max agreed. We both walked to the bank and we gave it to the person, but we talked about, you know, we jokingly talked about what we could have done if we weren't selfish, praise, if we were selfish. But the thing is that when you care about other people, you will do the things that show you're concerned about them. You know, one of the things I love about my wife, man, my wife, if they give her 50 cents more than what, she goes to the store and somebody give her 50 cents more than what they're supposed to give her, she'll probably drive all the way back to the store and give back that 50 cents. She'll probably use $3 worth of gas to give that 50 cents back to them. But that's her heart. She cares about other people, praise God.
Amen.
You see, one of the things y'all don't know about about the mother here, she has a tender heart. And she really is concerned about people. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you can clap on that. She has a tender heart. She's quiet. She don't talk a lot. But when she knows one of y'all in trouble, she gets concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes she'll smack me inside the head because I say, they just need to walk in faith. And she'll remind me of how, you know, because, you know, she is just, when she was first a Christian, you know, she struggled a lot. And I was the strong faith man, but I was very patient and sort of discipled her, praise God. Mm-hmm. And she would always remind me that, hey, I was that way, so I understand how they are. So you need to be as patient with them as you were with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
amen.
And you know, I'll grumble and complain under my breath. But I realize she's right that you gotta, you know, love means being patient with everybody. That's why Pastor's so patient with y'all. Y'all thank Mother for that. Praise God. See, Pastor Steve, I do listen to my wife. Sometimes. Pastor Steve had to rebuke me last week for not listening to my wife. But anyway, look at chapter 14 of the same book, St. John, chapter 14, and look at verse 31. It says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father saved me, gave me commandment. Oh, wait a minute. Is this the one I want? Man, I keep putting the wrong things down. I'm sorry, y'all. Skip that one. This is not the one I was looking for. Wrong commandment. Look at verse 12, chapter 15, verse 12. Chapter 15, verse 12. Yes.
John,
chapter 15, verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Say commandment.
Amen.
See, God's commandment is love. Praise God.
Amen.
It's not about committing adultery. It's not about fornication. It's not about stealing. It's about love. Hallelujah. Because as we saw in Romans 13 a couple of weeks ago, if I love you, I won't do any of that to you. Praise God.
Amen.
I won't look at you as a piece of meat. I will look at you as a valuable person in Jesus Christ. Praise Amen. The name of the Lord. And this is why, young ladies, single ladies, you have to be careful. If the man loves you, he will wait for you. Praise God.
Amen.
He will not take you to bed before he's put that ring on your finger and said, I do. If he truly loves you.
Amen.
But baby, I got needs. Well, you know what? Go to Jesus and get those needs taken care of. Praise God.
Amen.
Get delivered from that lust spirit. But you ain't taking me to bed. Praise Jesus. That's
Amen.
What you need to say.
Amen.
You need to tell that man, uh-uh. You're not undressing me until we done said, I do. Until you done put that ring on my finger and made that covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And listen, if that man is so quick to bed you may not want to marry him in the first place. Praise God. And what you need to do, especially if, I know not everybody has a father. Think of me as your father. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't have a natural father, your pastor is your father. Mm-hmm. Bring the man to pastor. And I tell you, my baby shaking her head. Bring the man to pastor. You ain't gonna have, I'm telling you, pastor will find him out. Myself and Pastor Steve will sit down and talk to the brother. Amen.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, if he ain't genuine, he will be found out. Amen.
Amen.
If he's genuine, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's gonna try to take you to, you know, so many women have gotten into trouble because they didn't listen to me. Because they didn't listen to pastor. We got women out there pregnant now. Mad at me. Because I told them the truth. And they didn't listen, so they went and did what I told them not to do anyway. And then they get themselves in trouble, single mothers and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about anybody in this church, praise God.
Amen.
At least who's a member of this church now. Now we've all made mistakes, amen.
Amen.
I made buku mistakes, so I'm not criticizing anybody. I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I did some stupid stuff. Amen. But I'm talking about people who I talked to and have warned them, and they still did what I told them not to do, and then they get themselves in a mess.
Amen.
It's because the man did not have the God kind of love. Ladies, look for a man who first loves Jesus, because if he loves Jesus, he will love you the right way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if he loves Jesus, that means he listens to Jesus, and Jesus will not let him mistreat you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I know the times I've mistreated my wife, man, I'm telling you, I had the Lord tell, come here, boy. Amen. I mean, he gave me a good talking to you. Now you're going to go and apologize. I'd like, you let me deal with her. I'm dealing with you on your part. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always come to find out that the Lord is dealing with her. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come together, she would recognize where she messed up at, and she would apologize to me. And then I had to humble myself and say, yeah, here's where I messed up at. Let me apologize to you. This is what the Lord showed me that I was stupid at. Praise God. That's what makes a marriage work, is both in love with Jesus. It doesn't mean you ain't going to have difficulties. Doesn't mean you ain't going to fight. It doesn't mean that you won't, or me and my wife, we don't fight. We have what somebody once called intense moments of fellowship. But the thing is that you're going to have difficulties, but if you let Jesus be the center of your family, the center of your marriage, then things will work out in the end. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And you won't be able to take no credit for it because it's all Jesus.
Yes.
So the commandment that you need to understand, the royal law of love that you need to understand, is that royal law of love. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's that royal law that avoids all sin, all strife, and all selfishness. Now, I'm going to just share two more things with you. We're going to get ready to go home. But sin is demonstrated by its selfishness, and you find that from the very beginning. You notice almost every sermon I preach, I often end up going right back to Genesis chapter 3. Well, this time ain't going to be no different. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. There's more scriptures too on talking about how love is the commandment, is the primary commandment of God's law. You know, we got Romans 13, 9, 1 John 4, 21, and 2 John 5 and 6. I didn't want to give all those to you because I wanted to get to this before we go home. But Genesis chapter 3, y'all remember how God had told Adam, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat, you will surely die. And God had warned Adam. He didn't threaten Adam, praise God. He didn't threaten him. He warned him of the consequences of disobedience. Amen.
Amen.
He did not threaten Adam because he loved Adam. He wanted Adam to obey, not out of fear, but out of love. But he had to warn him of the consequences of that disobedience. Amen. Well, Adam and Eve listened to the devil, who was disguised himself as a serpent, and they ate of that tree. And then when God, in all his love, comes walking into the garden to find out what's going on, look at the results of sin. In chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, notice that even when you sin, God still comes looking for you.
Amen.
Ain't that something about God?
Amen.
Man, he's beautiful. We mess up, and God doesn't say, well, you know what? Forget them. They messed up. I ain't dealing with them no more. No, God comes looking for you, baby. Oh, man, what a good God. I'm telling you, I can't serve the Muslim God. You mess up with him, you're dead. with Yahweh, Jesus, God, man, you mess up and he comes looking for you. All right, son, you messed up. Ask me for forgiveness. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. What a good God.
Thank you, Lord.
A God who wants me back, doesn't want me lost. But he goes, he says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, now listen to this. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Fear. That's not God. The Bible tells us that that he who lives in fear is not made perfect in love. Praise God.
Amen.
Adam began to lose his love and began to fear God. And this seemed to shock God, because when you're reading verse 11, he says, well, who told you you were naked? Have you been eating from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said, now listen, here's what strong evidence of the loss of love. The man said, the woman thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He went and blamed his wife. Instead, he should have been shielding his wife. He should have said, Father, you commanded me not to do it, and I messed up. I'm so sorry. I should have been protecting her. Instead of that, he throws her up to the get the wrath of God. It wasn't me. It was her. Instead of protecting his wife, he has now gone into self-preservation. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
He no longer cares about the woman. He cares about Adam. That is the basic sin of selfishness right then and there. That was the first evidence of having fallen into sin, having fallen from God's presence, is no longer love, but self-preservation. And that's the basic theory of evolution. The strongest survive. So the theory of evolution is in contrast to God. I don't know how some people can claim to be Christian evolutionists. The basic theory of evolution is the strongest survive. The strong will kill the weaker. That's not God. That's not the principle of the law of the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
The law of the kingdom is that the stronger will take care of the weaker.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at two more scriptures and we'll close out. Most of y'all are familiar with the story of Cain. Mm-hmm. But see, Cain also shows how early on the basic definition of sin was selfishness and selfish desire. So in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we read, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you angry, or why are thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over it." Notice that sin was already at Cain's door. God said you can close the door to it, son. But if you let it in, it'll be your desire. Well, Cain opened the door wide to sin, and then look what happens in verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him," or killed him, praise God. Amen. So sin led to murder. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. Sin led to selfishness. Look, if you understand the background of Cain and Abel's story, you know that Cain was not being, his offering was not being accepted by God because he was offering the wrong thing. Abel's offering was being accepted by God, and so this made Cain jealous and angry with his brother, angry enough to kill him. That's selfishness. Now, if he had been walking in the law of love, number one, he would have obeyed God and did it God's way, but even if he wasn't doing it the right way, instead of killing his brother over it, he would have said, "Abel, can you show me how to get in favor with God?" Amen.
Amen.
Instead of getting mad and getting upset, and see, that's what happens to us. We get mad at people because they're being blessed more than we are, and so we want to kill them. Instead of sitting down with them and saying, "Hey, man, how is it that God is able to, you know, my daughter, sometimes she gets more prayer answered than I do. But instead of me going in her room and taking a baseball bat and killing her, I sit down and find out, well, what is it that you, how does God answer you and not answer me that much?" Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Instead of getting mad, we just get with each other. Walking in the law of love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. We'll get ready to close out. But I want to show you this last scripture. You learning anything today?
Yeah.
Praise God. There's more to this teaching. A lot more. I'm not even going to give you everything in the next few weeks, but I will give you as much as I think you can swallow before we move on to some other things. But this church is going to be a church primarily focused on love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when I went down to the first church I really became a member of, which was Temple of Compassion. Man, the love that they showed me and my wife was overwhelming. I just never, ever got that kind of love before. And that left such an indelible impression on me, and it stuck with me ever since. And in many ways, I've always tried to emulate my pastor in that sense. He was strong. He wouldn't put up with no mess, but he was such a loving guy. I'm telling you, so compassionate. But he wasn't no wimp either, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you know, your pastor, I'm not a wimp. I'm not a pushover, but I am I'm a loving, loving person because Jesus abides in me, and I'm just so full of love, praise God.
Amen.
I was just telling Yard, you know, me and Yard, we were talking before church started, and we were talking about me, you know, my job as an IT person. And I told her, you know, there are some IT people that like to sit in a cubicle by themselves. They don't want nobody bothering them. They just want to play with their algorithms in there and solve all their computer issues. But I'm a people person, praise Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get out and I gotta go to people's offices and sit down with them and show them how to make something to work and how to do it and hold their hands and stuff like that. That's just the way I am. I just love people, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
People drive me crazy just like anybody else. They will drive me up the wall. But I still in the long run, my focus is helping them, not hurting anybody.
Amen.
Glory to God. Even if I have to rebuke a person, my rebuke is aimed towards their deliverance and their healing, not their destruction.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. It says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death or separation from God. Look at verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen.
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 That's the difference between the Cain and the Christians. Cain, instead of laying down his life for his brother, killed his brother. Adam, instead of laying down his life for his wife, she put made his wife the subject of the sin, praise God. Mm-hmm. Put her at risk, and you know, for the so-called wrath of God, and tried to protect himself by blaming his wife for the mess up that he did. And it was totally his fault in the first place. He should have been protecting her and keeping her from that serpent. But these are the epitome of selfishness. The epitome of love is when you love and protect each other. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's when I love and protect you, and you love and protect me. Mm-hmm. Now, none of us have reached that pinnacle of perfection yet. I'm still learning how to walk in this just like you are. Sometimes I mess up probably on a daily basis, just like some of you do. But I do look and ask God, where am I messing up at? And he'll show me, and I try to correct it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you do this, follow this principle first by looking at yourself and say, I need to stop being selfish in this area or that area, and start making sacrifices for your friends, your brothers. You know, one of the easiest things you can do, if you don't see anybody in church, give them a call. Praise God. Give them a call, say, how you doing? You know, people expect a pastor to call when they ain't there, but they may not expect a call from you. Sometimes you may be the one to bring them back to church. Praise God.
Amen.
You may be the one to reach the backslider. You may be the one to reach somebody that they might be mad at pastor for. You know, people get mad at me for strange reasons. I don't even know her. What in the world did I do now? But you may be the one to convince them and reach them and bring them back. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, let me give you a piece of advice. When somebody's talking bad about your pastor, don't sit there and be in agreement with them. Yeah, you know, he is like that. No, don't do that, okay? But just bring them back to Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Bring them back to Jesus. Put the focus on Jesus, not on pastor, not on somebody else in the church. Put the focus on Jesus, love, and forgiveness. And I tell you, the kingdom of God will be expanded in this particular ministry. Stand to your feet.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Amen.